And the fun is going to continue to open up the second hour of the program as we bring on a former host of this very show, a longtime friend, and currently he is the voice of Auburn football, the Auburn Tigers, with the Auburn Sports Network. It's Andy Burcham, kind enough to join us on today's show. Hello, Andy.
Gentlemen, good afternoon. Hope you've had a good show thus far. Hope it doesn't take a big dip now.
That will never be able to happen with you on the program, Andy. We're so grateful for the time. So let's dive right in. State College, you'd mentioned in the past being there with women's basketball before. First trip to Beaver Stadium. We saw you tweet out a photo before the game even took place. So you were ready to rock and roll. How was your experience, outcome aside, from State College?
It was a great experience. The folks were very accommodating. It's a beautiful area, that entire area of State College, Pennsylvania, with the mountains. You're down in the valley, and it's impressive. It's really impressive. Everybody that wasn't wearing orange, and there was a good amount of Auburn fans there.
Yeah,
they were there in white, and they get into the game. It's like going to LSU. It's like going to Texas A&M or to Gainesville or Tuscaloosa or anywhere in the Southeastern Conference. It'll be like going to South Carolina in a couple of weeks. It is a very impressive facility. It's an impressive atmosphere, and that's a good football team that Auburn faced on Saturday. So other than the final, the outcome of the game, which I'm sure we were all hoping for a different outcome, it was a very, very pleasant experience to be, and I look forward to those folks coming down to Auburn to experience life on the plains next year.
From your perspective, doing the play-by-play, Andy, in a game like that when the entire world is pretty much watching a primetime game on ABC, can you feel kind of how big of a moment, how big of a game it is as it's happening, and how many eyes might be on that contest or ears listening to your broadcast?
You know, I that's a good question, JJ, but I'm not sure that it enters my mind once the game is going. And you know that it's a big deal. You know that it's a primetime game because, you know, Herbie and Chris Fowler are there, and game day has been there, and it's whiteout, and we heard nothing but the whiteout all week long. But once the game starts, it doesn't really enter my mind how many folks are watching the game or are hopefully listening to our broadcast. You just know it's a very big game, and this is two tradition-rich programs that are playing in this game. And you know the buildup of it, but once the game starts, at least for me, and I'll just talk for myself, it's time to do your job and call the game as best that you possibly can, and with the excitement of that game and that atmosphere. But it did not enter my mind from the start to the finish of the game, perhaps after, and certainly before, you realize just how big this game is from a national perspective.
What'd you make of the Auburn quarterback's performance?
I thought Bo Nix played well. I know the numbers, you know, just his numbers probably are not indicative of his performance in the game. He had some drops. He missed a touchdown pass early on Auburn's first drive of the game. Auburn had a man open down the right seam for a touchdown, and he overthrew that. But I thought he stayed in the pocket well. But he looked off of his receivers well. And he certainly found the tight end. I thought Kobe Hudson responded well in spite of the fumble to start the second half. Kobe had his best game as a receiver for Auburn. I thought there were a lot of positives from an offensive perspective coming out of it. And for the third game, Auburn ran the game effectively. And it was tough to stop Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter. And now Auburn gets Sean Chivers back, hopefully, this week. And that gives you a completely different perspective as far as the running game is concerned. It gives you another option of some just blazing speed from what we hope now is a healthy Sean Chivers on Saturday.
Andy, that's talking about the offense, where there's some things on defense that kind of give you some concern with lack of pass rush, some struggles in the secondary covering guys. I mean, are you concerned about that, or you think that maybe this game was just an anomaly?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, and we really won't know that until Auburn goes to LSU, and to a certain degree, how Auburn performs this week. If Auburn goes out again this week, and does not get to Darren Granger, the quarterback for Georgia State, and he lights Auburn up from a passing perspective, then I think there is reason to be concerned. But, and listen, there's no question Auburn did not do a good job of putting pressure on Sean Clifford. There were a couple times where it was like, you know, he was out there forever.
Right.
It was like playing a flag game or something out there. You know, there's nobody rushing, it seemed. And I think that the one part, and listen, Jahan Dotson's a good player, guys. He's a really good receiver. And we knew that going in. They were able to find their tight end a couple times and at times was alarmingly open. And that was perhaps concerning in the game. But on the other hand, and this is a Penn State team that runs the ball well, but Auburn, for the third straight game, basically eliminated the running game of the other team. So while there were some things that you kind of scratch your head, there were also some things coming out from a defensive standpoint where Auburn played pretty well. And listen, Auburn played a good portion of the second half with the two linebackers. And we've talked about this before, that's the heart and soul of your defense, Owen Papo and Zakobe McLean. And who knows how much Papo plays this Saturday. Hopefully he's full go when Auburn goes to LSU next week. And we know that McLean won't play in the first half this Saturday because of the targeting rule, and we could debate about that all day long. but you know, I thought, you know, Chandler Wooten had his best game as an Auburn Tiger. T.D. Moultrie played well for Auburn against the run. Wesley Steiner got some important minutes at linebacker in that game. Marquise Burks played well and continues to play well on the interior of that Auburn defensive line. So while, yes, the pass rush was not there, and at times there were some wide receivers open for Penn State, look what Auburn did from the rushing game from a defensive standpoint to find something positive coming out of that game.
Yeah. And Andy, of course, everybody's talking about Auburn as a team, but another thing that everybody's talking about from that game was the officiating. You want to talk about a crew that just had a bad night. What were your thoughts on just kind of the rough night that the officiating crew had?
Well, listen, there's no question that they took a down away from Penn State.
Right.
I mean, and we were as confused as anyone in calling the play. The call on Zakobe, there was helmet-to-helmet contact. I don't think it was intended to be that way. And my gripe isn't necessarily the call, it's the rule.
Yeah.
I think there should be a way that he is not kicked out of the game because I don't think there was intent to do that in that play. We could debate the fourth and two, whether there should have been interference. I don't think so. But the call against Nehemiah Pritchett on the next drive, I thought, despite the fact that three flags came in on the play, I don't believe that's interference. And that turned out to be a big play, and it gave Penn State another play as well and took more time off the clock for Auburn. So, listen, the one thing we know that was messed up was the down.
Right.
And that worked in Auburn's favor in that ball game. But it wasn't the only game in the SEC this past weekend or involving an SEC team that had some officiating problems.
Yeah. Well, speaking of bad officiating, we're gonna go back in time here just a little bit. 2001, Nashville, Tennessee. JJ's got a little treat here for you.
Now here's third and goal for the Commodores from the Orange 5.
Big one.
Okay.
Right here. Big third down play for both sides.
And again, we just see for the second time tonight, Joelman under center. Looking, throwing to the end zone. Stricker is open. He's got it for a touchdown. No, he's taken away. They're going to take this away. It's an incomplete pass. Was he bobbling it?
I thought he was just out of bounds.
One official said yes. Another official came running in and said no touchdown. It is a touchdown. Holy mackerel.
Well, decide for yourself here, folks.
Terrible call! Oh, what a terrible, terrible call it is!
That may be as bad as you'll ever see.
And how can he call that a touchdown?
The line judge was looking right at it.
Oh, for goodness sakes. That is a terrible call. They're looking at it again. Oh, for goodness sakes. And I don't think Tommy Tuberville has any idea how bad that call is.
Yeah. Little blast from the past.
I remember that. Rod and I, that was a pay-per-view game.
Oh, that's what it was, pay-per-view. Everybody was asking me, why were y'all doing TV? And I couldn't remember if it was CSS or what it was. You're right, pay-per-view. That's right.
That was a pay-per-view game, and Rod was doing the color with me, and we were on top of the press box at Vanderbilt.
Okay.
And it may be the single worst call that I've ever witnessed. And regardless of who it happens, because he not only doesn't catch the ball, but he's not even in bounds. In no way is that a catch. And certainly in no way is that a touchdown. It is the worst call I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because in no way was it a catch or a touchdown in any shape or form.
Right. And there was no instant replay at the time to reverse that. But, yeah, like you said, for folks that have never seen this, when you say no way a catch, I mean the ball is bouncing towards the bleachers. I mean the guy in no way, shape, or form even has control of the ball, and then it bounces away from him. But I brought this up the other day to some friends of mine, and I showed JJ the clip of that on YouTube, and we figured we'd talk to you about that one. Bring it back bad memories.
when my family listens to the game, and they listen in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and elsewhere, if I'm saying something about goodness gracious about the officials,
it's bad.
I'm doing that to not cuss on the air.
I love that. Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, here with us on the program, a mentor to me, a good friend as well. And I have to thank Tom, Andy, because I'll be at 6 years old in 2001. I was not aware of this play call and this footage. So I'm glad that we were able to find that today.
I appreciate you saying that. I'm old, JJ. I really
Well, apparently I am, too, because I'm having to bring stuff up from 2001. I'm like, goodness gracious.
Oh, man. Andy, we've got Tiger Talk coming up tonight on our sister station, FM Talk 93.9. What can you tell us?
As soon as we're done, I'm going to set up the equipment. I've got it ready to go. On the show tonight, Brian Harsin joins us at the bottom of the hour. Right at the top of the show, you'll hear from Auburn volleyball coach Brent Crouch. Of course, they open their SEC play tonight at home against Ole Miss at 8 at the arena. Tight ends coach Brad Bedell will be joining us, and a couple of the Auburn players, and I'll announce that during the open of the show right at 7 o'clock.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll be on the lookout and listening to that. Andy, we really do appreciate the time. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day. War Eagle.